Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Marius Gustafsson allegedly removed men's penises and testicles for his website, along with eight other people Westminster Magistrates Court heard on Wednesday.
You know, they ask us to create content for the website. Yeah. Maybe we need to look into this.
Norway-born Gustafsson is accused of being at the heart of a wide-ranging conspiracy involving up to 29 offenses of extreme body modifications, the removal of body parts, the trade in body parts, and the uploading of videos. The group allegedly brought in some $300,000 in income from their extreme actions.
From removing penises?
Yep. Gustafsson is charged with conspiracy to cause grievous bodily harm, and that's to five alleged victims. Charges include the removal of a man's penis, the clamping of another's testicles, and freezing of a leg, which required amputation.
Wow.
Gustafsson is also accused of acquiring or possessing criminal property, making an indecent image of a child, and distributing an indecent image of a child. He himself has had his own leg, penis, and nipple removed and appeared in court in a wheelchair. Gustafsson appeared alongside Peter Waits, who is charged with conspiracy.
Not only does he own the company, he's a customer.
Waits was involved in all nine, with nine of the 29 incidents. Ian Seeker is said to have been involved in two incidents. Three other men were charged with being involved in the same conspiracy. They will appear in the same court. Nathan Arnold, Damian Burns, and Jacob Crimmy Appleby also appeared. Arnold is accused, is alleged to have removed Gustafsson's nipple. Burns is accused of removing his penis. And Creamy Appleby is accused of freezing his leg, requiring amputation. Like, they are doing it to themselves
so
as
I
well.
So I think Creamy was pretty hardcore. I mean, I'd probably come in on the nipple side.
Yeah.
I think that's less invasive. But, yeah, there are people like this who get off on this, and it's their thing.
Yep. None of the accused have entered any pleas. They are said to be part of a secret society.
You know what I do? I like to work with succulents. I think that's fun. Yeah.
So they are said to have been part of a secret society where men voluntarily remove genitalia and body parts. This is thought to be linked to a nullo subculture, which I've never heard before.
Nullo.
Nullo is short for genital nullification. So
yeah, then I have heard of it.
This is what they're into.
That's horrifying.
Mm-hmm. A Providence Township man with a history of mental illness doused himself with a flammable liquid and set himself on fire inside a magisterial district court office on Tuesday. I believe this was in Lancaster. Stanley T. Walden was at Judge William Better's office to be arraigned on recent charges of terroristic threats and criminal mischief when he set himself on fire and ran at police. Walden is currently receiving treatment at Lehigh Valley Burn Center. The judge said that he did not know the details about Walden's injuries or whether anyone was injured. Police charged Walden with arson, a felony, and reckless endangerment, a misdemeanor for the incident. During Tuesday's arraignment, Walden had a clear plastic water bottle with him. The complaint says when the defendant learned that he was going to be taken into custody for probation violation, the defendant poured the contents of the water bottle on himself. As officers approached, the defendant lit himself on fire with a disposable lighter.
Oh, my God.
The clear liquid inside of the bottle was flammable liquid, possibly rubbing alcohol or nail polish remover.
Why didn't them bring anything into the court?
Six law enforcement officers were in the courtroom at the time of the incident, as were Benner and Walden's mother. Walden, who is 6'4" and weighs 300 pounds, was still on fire when he ran toward the officers, removing his burning sweatshirt, and was swinging it towards the officers in the courtroom.
Did they say what the original charge was that had him on probation?
Yeah, I already said that. I'll have to go back.
No, no problem.
It was
arson?
No, I'm sorry. Court showed that Walden had run-ins with the criminal justice system before and had gone through the county's mental health court. So he had been in and out a few times. They knew him well.
Setting yourself on fire was a better option?
Yeah, I guess to him, it may have been. Now, this is pretty wild. Five mischievous boys had to be rescued from a Staten Island sewer system on Tuesday after they crawled into a tunnel and ventured deep inside and got lost.
Oh, wow. They were looking for a clown, right?
I think they may have been. So the FDNY received an emergency call Tuesday regarding children trapped in the sewer. 911 audio captures some of the exchanges between a dispatcher and a child. And in one exchange, the dispatcher asks for an address. The boyish voice says, "We don't know. We're stuck in the sewers.
We're goonies."
And they said, "You're stuck where?" And the child said, "In the sewers." And yeah, Steve, it was like that.
Yeah.
It was like the Goonies. Fire alarm dispatcher Marilyn Haxela said that he asked the child questions to narrow down where the boys entered the sewer system.
Send in Officer Sloth.
The responding fire units located the children's backpacks at the entrance to the tunnel, which leads to the sewers under Clove Lakes Park.
That's Officer Sloth.
Authorities determined that the children had crawled into the sewer system through the tunnel and had traveled up to a quarter mile further inside. The tunnel had a 40-inch opening that later reduced to 30 inches, and it made it difficult to navigate. A firefighter entered the tunnel on a rope and with a breathing equipment set up, and he said it was a tight space. The member had to crouch down and then crawl. They eventually were able to track down where they were. Firefighters found the kids by opening up one of the manhole covers above them, and the dispatcher urged the kids to raise their voices and call for help. Moments after this, the department said responding units located and rescued the kids.
They could have been deadly.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Did a rainstorm or something occur?
Yep. They were brought to safety after about 30 minutes or so of searching for
them. Bet they smelled great.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All right, let's see. And I think we have a little bit of audio for this. A Florida state representative appeared to get trolled by some raunchy fake names during his committee's hearing considering several bills.
I was laughing out loud.
During Monday's hearing of the Florida House Civil Justice Subcommittee, Chairman Will Robinson moved the committee into public testimony on State Representative Tiffany Esposito's bill on residential tenancies. A half hour into the hearing, everything was running smoothly as Robinson read off names of members of the public who were in opposition or support of Esposito's bill. However, shadowy formless entities stalked the subcommittee chairman, putting Representative Will Robinson in danger of trolls. And we'll play a little clip of the representative reading off the names.
Florida Station of Counties, waves in opposition. Pamela Birch Fort, Florida State Conference of NAACP Branches, waves in opposition. Anita Dick.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
He's an opponent.
Oh, man.
He's thinking.
Waves in opposition. Holden Hiscock. Oh, he's also an opponent.
Oh, my God.
Waves in opposition. Jimmy. Only Jimmy.
Only Jimmy.
Florida. Only Jimmy.
He knew Jimmy's last name
was. Yeah. He was.
Crack corn.
Oh, my God.
Play it again.
Oh, my God. All right.
Because after the first name, he's like, he starts to, you can tell he's thinking.
Yeah. Oh, he takes a nice pause there.
Birch Fort, Florida State Conference of NAACP Branches, waves in opposition. Anita Dick. He's an opponent.
Anita Dick is an opponent. Julie Jerkoff.
An opponent.
Forgive me. Waves in opposition. Anita Dick. He's an opponent.
Dude.
Do you know
how many times Michael Hunt got a phone call my swim club?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, because they announced it over the loudspeaker.
Yeah. And people actually did it?
Yeah. So they would call from the payphone, they would call and ask for that. And then they would say it over the loudspeaker. You have a phone call at the front desk.
One of the best.
It happened all the time.
The pool page is my buddy and I went out to Las Vegas years ago. That we would do that constantly, and you'd let it go for a day or two before you did it again. But it was the classic. Yes, paid somebody. I think he's by the pool.
93.3 WMMR audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
A young cow will have a new home at a New Jersey sanctuary after escaping from a slaughterhouse in New York.
Aww. We just had a story about sheep escaping.
Yep, and running loose through the streets of Brooklyn, though.
Brooklyn.
Yeah, Vincent Fontana.
Look at that horse.
What the hell's a horse doing around
stupid
here?
Stupid-looking horse.
Vincent.
What, you an idiot?
Vincent Fontana, owner of Original Pizza, said the small black cow escaped from a vehicle just outside the nearby Saba Live Poultry Slaughterhouse in Brooklyn. Fontana said the people from the slaughterhouse, they were just trying to lasso it and get it in the trunk, but she was feisty. She didn't want to go. Original pizza employees and members of the public joined in the chase, eventually wrangling the four-month-old calf back into the truck. Aww. Mike Stura, who is the owner of Skylands Animal Sanctuary in New Jersey, contacted the slaughterhouse about giving the cow a new home. He said the slaughterhouse was initially resistant to the idea, but later agreed. He said even slaughterhouse workers over the years that have given me animals, much bigger animals than this one, and a much bigger financial hit, and have said to me that they're happy that the animal came with me.
I mean, it made it out of there. It avoided an utter catastrophe.
He said they're happy to see one live.
I was waiting on it there.
That was a happy ending in that particular story. In South Carolina, three Greenville County deputies have been disciplined following an investigation after friendly fire left one deputy with a foot injury. The sheriff's office launched an investigation after a deputy shot another deputy during a training exercise. Wait to hear how this happened.
Oh, okay. No.
So the sheriff's office said the deputies were training with blank rounds during a controlled exercise. After the training exercise, deputies were securing equipment when one of the deputies fired a blank round from a simulation gun at another in an act of horseplay. The second deputy responded by firing back, forgetting he had already switched back to his duty weapon and shot the other guy in the foot.
Come on, you never do stuff like that. You never, never.
The injured deputy was taken to a hospital where they were treated and released. Both of the deputies had been disciplined for careless use of a firearm and improper handling of a firearm. They were given a 10-day suspension and will undergo remedial training. A supervisor who failed to monitor the handling of the firearms has also been punished, receiving a 3-day suspension and remedial training as well. Let's see. A van fire and explosion in Santa Rosa on Tuesday shut down a highway on-ramp and led to the discovery of large amounts of marijuana that was soaked in butane.
What?
Police and fire crews were called. They arrived on scene where a white van had flames shooting out of the vehicle. Crews put out the fire, treated the driver of the van for burns. The driver
was so hungry.
Taken to the hospital for further treatment. On social media, the fire department posted photos of the scene, including pictures of garbage bags that had been full of marijuana, and they had to close the ramp for several hours. They didn't explain why it was soaked
in butane.
In butane, but for whatever reason it was. A tourist suffocated after a heavy bench that he was sitting on toppled backwards and pinned him against a wall.
Oh!
Yeah.
It's crazy.
American Patrick McGuire had been on holiday in the Highlands with his wife Anna and two friends. The group from Wisconsin were staying at the Glengarry Castle Hotel. Owners Robert and Donald McCallum and late partner 80-year-old Jeanette McCallum were prosecuted after a police investigation into the tragedy. The court said they admitted a breach of the Health and Safety Act after having previously recognized the risk of benches sinking into the grass and becoming unstable. A charge against Mr. Callum said that they failed to have place in suitable inspections and maintenance. McGuire had sat back on the bench, which tipped backward, caused him to strike his head on the wall, knocking him unconscious. And this trapped him between the 165-pound bench and the wall, causing positional asphyxiation.
Yeah,
it just
bent him so he couldn't breathe.
Yep, and he was passed out. So,
that's right, didn't know.
Yeah, the hotel was fined about $20,000 after the penalty was discounted as the partners accepted full responsibility at the earliest stage. But yeah, that's horrible that this guy died with
sitting down.
Yeah. And then finally, we will end with this story. If you like wildlife and you don't mind dealing with problem animals, then you could work as a bear hugger.
Ooh.
The New Mexico Department of Fish and Game and hiring they're hiring a so-called bear hugger.
Yeah.
That has the courage to crawl into a bear den.
Yeah, that's a good job.
The department posted a job opening for conservation officers on Facebook, saying that viable applicants must have ability to hike in strenuous conditions, crawl into bear dens, and trust their coworkers will keep them safe. They acknowledge that not all law enforcement field work is this glamorous, but that this is an experience of a lifetime.
Also looking for moose hand job givers.
A conservation officer patrols the state to enforce game and fish laws, but in addition to law enforcement, they also conduct wildlife surveys. And another part of the job is capturing what the department calls problem animals. Applicants are required to have a Bachelor of Science degree in biological sciences, police sciences, or law enforcement, natural resources, conservation, and others.
Those are accomplished bears.
The applicants. While the department advertises the job as a bear hugger who may have to crawl into dens, they said that this is just one example of what conservation officers have done in the past.
Hi, what's your name?
The department shared
images
of conservation officers holding bears, saying this was part of a research project in northern New Mexico, and all bears were handled safely under supervision.
My mother loved me.
Yeah, that's what they need to do. Hold and hug the bears and make them feel better.
I think that sounds incredibly dangerous.
It does.
Yeah.
They already posted for the job for 2024, too.
All right, and that is what I have in the Bizarre File for you.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.